Well, we are in the fifth week of a journey through the book of Philippians. And I know that I was talking with Steve out in the lobby, and he was just saying how this is truly ministering to his life right now as he's going through more surgeries and just having to deal with the heaviness of real life, but God's word bringing the refreshing and the joy that is ours no matter what the circumstances. So is anybody else receiving what God is giving us here in his word in Philippians? Amen. God's word is so good. So good, so life-giving. So I just want to encourage you, when you wake up in the morning, start it off in the Word of God. You'll be starting your day off from a place of refreshing. And that's what God has for you. That's what he wants for you. So we're in our fifth week, journey through the book of Philippians, where we're looking to the Word of God to find joy. We want to find some joy. The Lord wants us to find joy. It is part of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Joy is. And so this book of Philippians, we have the Apostle Paul who's writing to the church from a prison cell. He's not on the beach. He's been on the beach, shipwrecked on the beach. But anyway, right now he's in a prison cell. And what is he writing about? What are we seeing jump off the pages of this letter? Joy. Joy, joy, joy. The situation that Paul's in, he's still in the place of joy. Title of today's message, joy is found when we stop talking and start being. Joy is found when we stop talking and start being. Stop simply talking about the Christian life. Stop simply talking about the mission, but actually stepping into it, engaging it, being the church. Joy is found when we choose to be the church. We had new members up here introduced to us, and there is joy that is found because they're being the church, choosing to join, choosing to be connected as the body of Christ. Philippians 2, we're going to be in verse 19. So go ahead and turn there right now. Philippians 2, verse 19. At first glance, you look at these passages and you're thinking, why don't we just blow by these particular passages of Scripture? I mean, there's not much there. It's not very exciting, kind of boring. Just sounds like Paul's just kind of throwing in a little bit of personal high, you know, remember this type of a thing. Where's the theology? Where's the importance of these particular passages of Scripture? Well, I think there's a lot in there for us even today. And I think the Lord divinely has us in these particular passages of Scripture even today. You know, we can find life in every single verse in the Bible. God is there. It says in Scripture, right? In 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture, everything in this book, in God's Word, is God-breathed. And if God's breathing something, I want to breathe it in. If God's breathing something out, I want to take in whatever God is putting out. You know what I'm saying? And so God has put all of this out. He's breathed all of this Scripture out for us. And it's good. It's useful, it says, for teaching, for rebuking. Some of y'all need that today. Anyway, we won't go there. But it's good for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Amen. So God has a message for us, another key to finding joy. Philippians 2, verse 19. We're going to run through the rest of this particular chapter. And I want you to pay attention to the guys that are being talked about here, to Timothy and Epaphroditus, okay? Pay attention to these two guys and check out what it is. Even make note of it in your mind, maybe on a piece of paper, even as we're going through this. What makes them special? What makes these two guys special? I believe that's the word that the Lord has for us today. He wants us to pick this up. What makes these guys special? Philippians 2, 19. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send you Timothy. I want to send him to you soon so that I also may be cheered up when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. In other words, This is a guy who shows real concern for the church, for God's people. For everyone, Paul says, meaning everyone else, looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy, this regular guy, he doesn't walk on water like Jesus. This guy, Timothy, but you know Timothy, this guy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served me. He served with me in the work of the gospel. So I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So before we look at the next guy, let's look at Timothy a little bit closer. What makes this guy special? What jumps out at us from the writings of Paul here about this guy, Timothy? First thing I saw is he cares for others. Timothy cares for others. And because of that, Paul's excited about sending Timothy to this church. He's full of joy. He's rejoicing because he gets to send somebody to these believers in Philippi, somebody who cares for them, who genuinely cares for others, and who cares for the body of Christ. So Timothy cares. The second thing we see about Timothy, he cares for the church. He's concerned about the bride of Christ. The third thing is he proves himself by serving alongside others. So here's a guy, Timothy, who cares for others and he serves others. That's what makes this guy special. That's why Paul is rejoicing. He's full of joy that he gets to send this kind of guy to the church. A guy who cares and a guy who's willing to get his hands dirty and get messy because people are messy. And serve. All right, let's look at the second guy. This guy's name is Epaphroditus. Y'all say that? Epaphroditus. All right, look at that. Advanced people here in this room. Epaphroditus. Verse 25. Paul says, but I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. I just want to stop. That just jumped out at me right there. Anybody ever struggle with anxiety? Get a little anxious about things, about what's going on? I'm raising my hand. I do. I just saw something right here. Paul's sending somebody. Paul's talking about how if we hang around the right people, can help our anxiety level go down. That the Lord will use us. He'll use us to minister to one another, which can reduce our anxiety level. Look at, he says, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Why? Because you're surrounded by the right kind of people. How many of you are parents? You don't have to raise your hand. There's parents in the room, right? When your kids are surrounded with the right kind of people, what happens? Our anxiety level goes down, right? Because it matters who we hang out with. Anyway, I got to get rolling because I've told you I'm going to preach the shortest message I have in 2 years. And that just came out of nowhere, right? Well, it came out of the Bible. But anyway, so verse 29 says, so then, welcome him, this guy Epaphroditus, in the Lord with great joy. Welcome him with joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So let's take note. What makes Epaphroditus special? He's a brother in the Lord, first of all, Paul says about this guy. Verse 25, right? He's a brother in the Lord. A brother. You know that passage about how a brother is born for adversity? We often think about that meaning because of our relationship sometimes with our brothers, that means our brother is born to just like make our lives miserable and to fight, you know, he's born. No, I look at it differently. A brother is born for adversity. A brother is born so that when we go through adversity, he's there by our side, going to have our back. He's going to help take down whoever's messing with us, right? A brother is born for adversity. Paul says this guy's a brother in the Lord. He's there, man. He is there. Other thing about this guy, Epaphroditus, he's a co-worker. He's a co-worker. Worker is not a bad word. It's a beautiful thing. Do you know that we were made to work? And I'm going to tell y'all something right now. In eternity, we will be working. We will be working. We'll be working. And it'll be glorious and wonderful. This is a co-worker. He didn't just watch others. This guy, he rolled up his sleeves and he worked alongside the Apostle Paul and the saints. He didn't just take in, you know, oh, wow, this is cool. I got goosebumps whenever I get together with Paul and the church and that's great. Now I got to get back to whatever it is I'm doing. No, he's a co-worker. And he says he's willing to enter the fight as a fellow soldier. He's willing to go on a battlefield with his brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this Epaphroditus guy is someone who's willing to go the distance to care for others. So today, in this message, I have one point. Shortest message in 2 years. You ready? I got one point. It's a one-point message. They don't teach you that in seminary. But we're going to do this right here, right? A one-point message. Be like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Mic drop. No. Anyway, be like, I didn't even know. I was just have this up here for another reason, but perfect, perfect prop. Last week was the weights, right? This week, anyway. Be like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Be like these guys. Be like them. And you know what? When we're like guys like this, we won't get ripped off anymore from everything that God has for us for being his children. God has so much for us, so much for his church, so much for his people, and we experience it when we engage with God and with the church and with the mission that God has for us. And that's what these guys were doing. Brothers, co-workers, laboring. They're showing up. They're rolling up their sleeves. They're being the church, right? They're connected. They're involved. So I want to encourage us. We got to make sure that when we're living this Christian life that we don't just watch others have all the fun. That we don't just sit back and watch others enjoy all the relationships. And I know there's those in this room, and we go through seasons, and the enemy rips us off where we get in this kind of watch mode, and we're looking around, and then we go like, I wish I had that. I wish I was involved in those kinds. I wish I had those kind of relationships. God has those kind of relationships for you. But we just have to enter into that place where we're not watching from the outside, everybody else doing life. And we also have to make sure that we don't let others do all the work. Amen. I've said this before. If you're part of my family, you're working. You're doing dishes. You're taking out the trash, right, Ben? Amen. Sunday goes down to the corner. Take it out, right? If you're part of the family, you're doing that. If you're a guest, if you're outside of my family, you come over, I'm not going to make you do all that kind of stuff. Right? But if you're part of my family, we do that. That's just what we do. It's just what we do. We're part of the family. So we roll up our sleeves. We join the fun. We join in on the mission. We do it together. We're part of the community. We're part of the family. You know, I hung out yesterday with a brother of mine, Sean Donaldson. How many of you know Sean? Oh, yeah. If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. Sean doesn't know. You don't even know I'm going to say this right now, but the Lord just gave it to me. I was thinking about this morning. I hung out with Sean yesterday. The Lord just divinely put us together. We did some walking and praying for the Crisis or Choices Pregnancy Centers together. And we were walking through the community. We were talking. We were praying. We were laughing. We were reminiscing because we've run through life a long time together. And then all of a sudden, I noticed what he was wearing. I'm a guy. I don't always look at that first thing, right? And I look and I'm like, dude, you got the old school Evident Life shirt on, that green shirt on right now. And that's the shirt that says on it, don't just go to church, be the church. And I looked at that and I thought, brother, we're doing it right now. We're living out what your shirt says right now. We're not just going to church. We're being the church. We're together right now. We're doing something together for God's glory. Being the church. Being like Timothy. Being like Epaphroditus. See, we didn't even know that yesterday. But now the Lord's showing us, right? Paul's life, Timothy's life, and Epaphroditus' life were filled with joy because of the life and the work they experienced together. You see that, the joy that Paul has that he's talking about these guys? It's because he did life with these guys. It's because he's in relationship with these guys. Because he's made memories with them. Because he's fought battles with them. Because he's done heavy lifting with these guys. And because of that, he's full of joy. He's full of joy. And this is how we're going to find true joy. By experiencing life and the work of Christ together, for real. Not by just saying, oh yeah, I recognize them. I see them at church when I go and I sit down and I kind of engage and then I run off and then I come back next week and you know what I mean? But no, it's when we like really do life, when we know each other, when we've walked the walk together, together. So I texted something to Sean yesterday afterwards. I said, man, I enjoyed our time together. That was really cool what God did, how he put us together again today. And I got this text back from Sean. He says, quote, we have a lot of history together. Making new memories is the best. I mean, that's kind of a different way of saying some of the stuff we just read from right here, isn't it? Timothy, Epaphroditus, we have a lot of history together. We've done a lot together for the kingdom. And doing even new stuff, the next stuff, man, that's the best. I can't wait for the next memories that we're going to make together. That's Christian living. That's what we get to walk into. There's so many people running around in life, they're all alone. They don't have anybody like this to be able to run with in this way and do like significant things and like real life with that makes a difference eternally. But we do. We're blessed with this because we're part of God's family. One more thing, and I'm about ready to close. I know, you're like, I'm serious. Did you notice that Epaphroditus almost died for the work of Christ? It says this, again, and it says in verse 30 that he risked his life to make up for, I underlined that in red in my notes here. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. All right, let's talk about this. What am I seeing in this? I'm seeing a guy who had to lift such a heavy load because he didn't have help from others. He had to go the extra distance. He had to carry what if all of his brothers and sisters there to help him carry would have been easy, but alone, man, it almost killed him. Carrying the spiritual load, the mission that he had to do, just about killed him. He needed help. He needed help. And there are people today that are carrying heavy loads in ministry, in the church, even in this church, that could really use the support and help of others, of brothers and sisters to come alongside of them. And not only is it just a helping hand, but it's a new relationship. It's new memories. Many hands make light work. Y'all ever heard that? It's true. It's true. I did a project yesterday morning, early in the morning, before Velva got up. It was her birthday. She's 29 again. And anyway, come on. And so I got this shade thing that I was putting up. It's like 10-foot-long shade thing so that, you know, we can block the sun in the morning and still enjoy the mornings because the sun comes up at 5 now. And if you don't know that, try it sometime. Get up and watch it come up. It's awesome. The birds start singing. The roosters start. Anyway, so that's pretty good. So what was I talking about? Oh, the shade thing. it was so early in the morning, I didn't have anybody to help me. And I didn't want to wake up one of my kids. It was Saturday morning, you know, they finally get to sleep in, right? I didn't want to wake one of them up. I got this 10-foot long, you know, big shade thing that I'm putting up all alone, and I'm holding it. I got a ladder here, and then I'm holding it like this, and I'm pulling over here, and I'm doing it. And my back hurts today because of that. Because I was carrying the whole load doing a project that I shouldn't have been doing alone. I know none of you guys ever do that, right? Do a project. Anyway. I was only about 3 feet up in the air, so I wasn't going to do a Pastor Jose, you know what I'm saying? So keep praying for him. He's home, by the way. He is recovering, but he's not back in the saddle quite yet. So keep praying, and we know that God is going to restore him 100% from that fall that he had. So I'm going to stop preaching. How about that? I'm going to stop preaching. I want us to do something. I want us to be those who don't just hear the word, but actually step in and respond to the word of God today. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend the rest of our morning highlighting opportunities for us to engage with Timothy, Epaphroditus. Well, not those guys, they're dead, but with one another. In ministry, in relationship, in being the church, not just talking about the church, not just theologically and doctrinally saying we're part of the church, but making sure that everybody here in this local congregation understands that you have opportunity to connect and be the church, to walk alongside of others, to help with some of the lifting, and to enjoy the fellowship, make the memories, even like Sean and I just did yesterday. No longer being consumers, but being co-workers. Not simply coming to church, but being the church. And I hope you're going to see that there's something for everyone. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be bringing different people up here on stage. And we're going to be introducing some folks here in the church, some ministry leaders and others that are just part of ministries, and just going to have them share what it is that they're doing, how they're connecting with others here at Evident Life Church. And we're going to do this quickly. They're going to be up and they're going to be down. You're not going to get every answer or every question answered from each one of these people, but here's the deal. They're going to be out in the lobby after our service, and you can hit them up there and ask them whatever you want to ask them. Start getting connected in the different places in our church. I want to say this before we do this. The intent and the intention is not to burden the body of Christ with you got to do everything and be everything to everyone and show up at every single meeting and every single outreach thing that's going on here at the church. This is not the intent of this. The intent of what we're doing here today is to help us connect and really enjoy the fullness of being part of the body of Christ. And my encouragement is, be connected somewhere. Be doing life with a smaller group of people who you really get to know, who you have conversation with, who you make memories with. And then I want to encourage you to do one other thing. Serve. Use the breath, the strength, the talent, the giftings that God has given you to come alongside of your brothers and sisters in Christ and to serve together. It might mean that you are part of the welcome team once a month, showing up to church 45 minutes early for your team huddle and then for pre-service prayer and then to meet and greet and smile and welcome people to the gathering that we have. It might be that. It might be to help around the church with different projects we have. It might be part of the outreach team that's going out into our community. There's all different kinds of opportunities to serve. And it's really what's God calling you to and what's he equipped you for. So, without any further ado, Pastor Phil, are you coming up with me to kind of help orchestrate all this stuff? Because I need help, brother. I want to invite all the life group leaders to come up.